we are joining with Christians this morning all around the world and sharing in almost every language this call and response of Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Christians who are free and who have plenty, and Christians around the world who are fighting this morning and who are suffering under the weight of poverty this morning, are all gathered together and as one and celebrating the one who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, even though they die, they will live again." We have a really big family today. And all around the world, we are together, celebrating our King and our Rescuer and our Hero, the one who has come and is coming for us. One of the early followers of Jesus named Paul, when he was in prison and he was about to die, he wrote a letter to the church of we call Philippians, and he was reminding them of the good news of Jesus, and he said, "You already know this already, but it isn't a hardship on my part to remind you of this, and it's good for you to hear it. So nothing that I tell you this morning, especially if you've been coming to Edgewood Church for a while, is going to be new or novel, but it is not a problem for me to remind you, and it's good for you to hear it." There are two questions that I think take the forefront with Easter, with Resurrection Day, with this celebrating the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. One is, did it really happen? And I really like that question because it's a lot of fun. We know historically that the life and death of Jesus happened. No one really argues that. But the resurrection of Jesus, that's a different one. It's interesting because on a topic that there shouldn't be any real debate or any T's that are not crossed or I's dotted, there is. Because we know that dead people don't come back, right? It's why we feel the way that we feel about death. It's why people kill people, right? It's because they expect them not to come back, you know? But with Jesus, when we look at his life, or we look at what happened after he died, there's a lot of questions that just don't make sense if that's not the answer, that Jesus came back. And I would love to talk to you about that today, but that's not the question for this morning. That's not the question for Easter morning. The question for today is, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Because I think that once we see that it matters, that everything kind of falls into place. You know, and I think that's a bigger question for us. So in your today, in your tomorrow, in the stuff that you're dealing with in your life, why does it matter that in a time so long ago, in a place that is so removed from our own, that there was a man that lived named Jesus, that was hung on a cross, on a Roman cross, between heaven and earth, that he breathed his last and gave up his life, was buried in a cave, in a tomb, and a stone was put over the front of it. And on the third day, he came back to life somehow, and he went and visited and hung out with hundreds of people, and then disappeared. Why does that matter today? Amen. But why does that matter today to you and the things on in your life and the stuff that you're facing? When you're struggling to pay your bills, when your body is hurting and the hurting just doesn't stop, why does this matter? When you're grieving over a loss or a broken dream, why does this matter? When a relationship isn't working out the way that you hoped that it would, why does this Jesus and his cross and his resurrection matter in that moment? When you're fighting with your spouse, or you're worried about your kids, why does it matter? When you're afraid you might get fired this week or lose your apartment this week, why does it matter? When you're wrestling with an addiction, and some days you feel like that you've got the best of it, but a lot of days you know that it has you. Why does this man from so long ago, and what happened in his life and his matter? When you're wrestling with your demons day in and day out, and they are just wearing you out. When you're watching someone that you love slowly fade away. What difference could this Jesus and what happened to him and what he did matter when your life and the life story that you're living, it just makes you sad and depressed? Even more challenging, I think, is this man that you don't know, that you have never met from so long ago. How could he possibly matter to you when you have life in the palm of your hand? When you are smart enough and you are successful enough and you are good looking enough and you are connected enough and you relate to people well enough, that you have everything a person could want. How in the world could Jesus matter to you when you are the captain of your own ship and then you're the master of your own fate? How could he mean anything to you? Whatever you are going through, how could this Jesus matter to you and 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 all the situations and all the stuff that you are going through and all the wealth and the health that you enjoy? Because a lot of us can do it just fine on our own, right? Over the years, I've come up with some answers to this. I've experienced some answers to this. I've seen some answers to this. And I kind of collect them. They're really good answers, I think. But there's only one answer. One answer. And I'm going to share with you the answers because, at least as far as I understand them to be, and I'll tell you the answer. As far as I understand it. For why Jesus matters for you and for me this morning and in our life. The first one is that the death and the resurrection of Jesus absolutely matters because it says that God loves you. God loves you. The question of whether you are loved and valued and deserving of love was firmly settled on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross because God, you were worth it. God believed that you are worth that much of going through the living and the suffering and the dying because you are worth it. That alone should settle any issues of worthlessness and low self-esteem and looking to others for validation. Anytime that those voices creep up on you, you should be able to look to the cross. You can look to the cross and say, wow, you know, I must be worth something. Because look at what Jesus paid to show me how much God loves me, to save me, to heal me, to rescue me, to bring me back home, to set things right within me, to get me out of the mess that I was in. Look how valuable I am. And if I'm worth that much to God, then I must be worth something. Tell somebody I'm loved. Come on now, people. Say I'm loved. Somebody say, I am valuable. Somebody say, I'm important. Good. Now, when you get your love from God and your validation from God, when you get your value from God, it sets you free. Because there is this hole inside of you that longs to be loved and longs to have this validation, and only God can fill that up. And until you have that filled up from God, you're going to go out into the world looking for it and seeking it and trying to have that filled up. And it sets dysfunctional relationships between you and between other people. And it leads to all sorts of unpleasant things. The least of which is emptiness. Often the least of which. You don't have to get all these things from other people because you're getting these things from God. You're already loved. You're already validated. You already know that you have self-worth and value. You're getting what you need from God, so you don't have to get from other people. You are free to actually love people, not in exchange for them to love you back, but because you just want to love them because God loves them and that you have your love from God. Let me put this in a real practical term. The New Testament uses all the time this image of marriage to explain God's love. I'm married to Carrie, and if she stops loving me, I'm still going to keep loving her. If I stop getting from her, I'm not going to stop giving to her. If I did, what kind of Christian marriage would that be, right? I promised to God a long time ago, to God, first of all, and then to her, but first of all to God, that I would love her and be faithful to her until death does us part. And so if I am not getting from her, then that just means that I need to double down on getting from God so that I have something to give to her. Then I get from God and give to her and get from God and give to her. We see in Jesus that love isn't always easy. It's not always fun. It's not always with us at the and me and my at the center, but it's what real love is. It's what real love is. And being connected with God means that I have the ability to love and that I am loved. And that question of our value and worth is firmly settled at the cross. Another one of the answers is that the cross and the resurrection, it frees us of the fear of shame so that we can face our guilt. So we can face our guilt. Shame says that you are not worthy of love and belonging and that you need to hide because what if somebody finds out? What if somebody knew? What if somebody saw these things that were about you, that you've done, that this stuff that is inside of you, that you know that's there, that you would be rejected and unloved and unwanted? It's the voices that are inside of us that says that we are in danger of being outcast and rejected because of who we are, because of who we are. Shame is a human sickness that leads to depression and anxiety and perfectionism and judgmentalism. Guilt is something different. Guilt is the very appropriate feelings that we have for when we do something wrong or hurtful to somebody else or to ourselves, or we violate what we know to be right. Two different things. Guilt is the very appropriate feelings that we have when we do something wrong against ourselves or someone else, or we violate what we know to be right. Facing our guilt is a good and it's a healthy thing. We need to do it. We do wrong, we need to deal with it. And dealing with our guilt, it restores relationships, it frees our souls. And if we don't face it, it just begins to make us sick. And the thing that keeps us from facing our guilt so often is shame. I did this thing, and I'm guilty, but I also feel ashamed. If I feel ashamed, and if people knew, then they would. If everyone ever finds out, you won't be loved anymore. You won't be wanted. You're not good enough. We don't want to feel rejected or shoved aside. So we hide and we pretend. But at the cross, we find a love that faces the worst of what humanity has to offer, the worst of anything that is inside of you. Envy and fear, greed and selfishness and betrayal and all of it, the swirling, dark, yucky madness. And God says, I know and I love you still. I know and I love you. I know better than you do and I love you. I know and I have always known and I love you still. The love of God frees us of our shame so that we can face our guilt and we can move on, deal with it and move on from that into life, into freedom, and into joy, and into peace. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are free to face the fact that we've all done wrong against ourselves, against other people, and against God, and we can deal with it, we can own up with it, and we can get back up again in the love and the power of God. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put our faces on, our mask on. We can be courageously who we are, and that is okay. You're free from being perfect. You're free from shame. You're free to face your guilt and let God's love breathe new life and peace into your soul. You guys may not want to join me on this one, but if you want to, say, I am free of my shame, so I can face my guilt. Man, last time I did this, half the room was very quiet. The cross and the resurrection, they also give us hope. They also give us hope, and we need to live with hope. See, God wants us to have the resurrection in our life, the death and the resurrection in our life, so that whatever we go through, whatever the situation that we are dealing with, that we know that if God can raise Jesus up out of the grave, that God can deal with our situation, that God can win over that situation. If God can deliver Jesus from the grave, God can deliver us from our debt. God can deliver us from our addiction. God can bring us out of poverty. God can bring you up out of loneliness. God can breathe new life into your depressed self. God can breathe new life into your marriage. God can breathe new life into your relationships. God can raise up whatever situation that you are in out of the grave. God wants us to be able to walk through life and face the Fridays where everything that we, it seems like everything that we love and that we care about is just slipping through our fingers, and we're watching our hopes and our dreams and the stuff that we love so much die. And God knows that we're going to have Saturdays where we feel like everything is empty and dark and lost. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And Sunday is the day where you should have been dead. Everyone counted you out and thought that you were dead and that you were gone and that you were defeated. But you were up and you were walking around and you were having lunch with people and talking to people and you were doing things that nobody thought that you could do. And it is blowing people's minds and they are confused about what is going on there. And historians are going to write about it for a really long time because they can't figure out what all happened here. We thought that you were dead on Friday and Saturday, but Sunday's coming. And you need to know that no matter if you are in a Friday, if you are experiencing this time of your life where you feel like everything that you love and you care about is dying before your eyes and all your dreams and the things that you love are being crushed, or you feel like that you are living in a Saturday where everything seems dark and empty, that you will live those Fridays and those Saturdays differently because you know that Sunday's coming. You know that Sunday's coming. And that matters on Sunday, but it matters on Friday and it matters on Saturday. It matters every day that Sunday's coming. God wants us to have hope in our life. We are wired to live with hope, and without hope, we die. The Fridays win and the Saturdays win. Not for God's people. The resurrection gives us hope when no one else can see it. When no one else can see it. The cross and the resurrection matter. This one's going to sound funny, but the cross and the resurrections matter because it saves us, for some people, not for others. Because God in this offers to save us from our daddy issues. You don't have to raise your hand, not with your body, raise your hand if you've got some daddy issues. Oh my goodness. You didn't know I could see that. I can see that. Pastor Powers, it's amazing. So, I was lying about that, Sharon, thank you. I have no powers. So, my dad at times was a remorseless and cruel and calculating person that wielded love like a weapon. And so I thought that God was a remorseless and cruel and calculating person that wields love like a weapon. But the resurrection that confirms that Jesus is who he says that he is. And Jesus says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. The book of Hebrews, I just love this, says that Jesus is the shininess of God's shininess, the radiance of God's radiance. If you want to see, it's like God putting God's self on display for everybody to see. That's what Jesus is like. And if you want to see God, if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And the Father God that we find in Jesus is wise and strong and good and cares. The Father God that we find in Jesus truly and really, really loves you, no matter what. Not with a what's in it for me kind of a love, what can I get out of it kind of a love, but a self-sacrificing, I will do anything for you love. In our suffering, our Father God is right there with us saying, I know. I know. I know what it means to hurt. I know what it means to love, to lose what you love so much. I know. The Father God that we find in Jesus is holding out love and forgiveness and wholeness and joy and life itself to us. And all we have to do is receive it. All we have to do is say yes. Somebody say, I have a good Father. I have a good Father. And we need that. We need that. At the core of our being, we need that. Last one of the answers. In the cross and resurrection, Jesus, God, breaks the curse of death. Breaks the curse of death. Psychologists have been, they came in late in the game, so other people knew this long before, but psychologists have been writing about for 100 years how much all of us are haunted by the fear of death. That's why we're so afraid of missing out. We're so afraid of losing what we have, because we know that this life is it. It's all we have, and it's slipping through our fingers every moment of every day. It's why we have to have our best life now. No pastor would ever tell you anything different, right? It's it's why we have to have our best life now, because this is all that there is. It's why we're so concerned about not having enough, about not being enough, about missing out, and about losing the things and the people that we do have, because we are dying, and this is it. It's why the what-ifs suck the joy out of our lives and make us slaves to the things that we have and the things that we want and the things and the people that we are afraid can take those things from us, and slaves to the people that and the things that we believe can give those things to us. It makes some people live small lives, avoiding risk, playing it safe, and settling for the mediocre, trying to preserve what they can't preserve and hold on to what they can't hold on to. While for other people, this fear of death makes people live pointless lives, straining and sacrificing for things that they can't ever keep, and things that will never make them whole. But Jesus, the one who conquered death, who broke the curse of death, said, I am going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. They said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though you die, you will live again. We may all die, but those who put their hope and their trust in Jesus will one day experience resurrection too. And it will be the day that God makes all things new, and that God makes a new heaven and a new earth and ushers us into it and wipes every tear from our eyes and makes all the sad things come untrue. That day is coming, and it is for you, and it is for me, and it is for everybody who loves and trusts and puts their hope in this resurrected Lord. One of the most astounding marks of Christians throughout the last 2,000 years have been people who have lived like the curse of death has been broken in their lives. They have loved and they have risked and they have served and they have sacrificed in ways that people couldn't understand. It was as if they didn't value their own life, or they held it so loosely. because they believe that this life is not all that there is for them. That it's just a piece, it's a beginning, and that there is more. These people live like the fear of death, that suffering and loss, and that missing out, it didn't have a hold on them. For them, they have died with Christ, and they found the freedom to truly live. Because of their trust in the death of resurrection of Jesus, they discovered that when they no longer needed to live, then they could live. When they no longer needed to live, then they could live. You are free. You are free. Somebody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Somebody say, the curse is broken.
The curse is broken.
Somebody say, this is not all that there is. Somebody say, when I die, I will live again.
When I die, I will live again.
Amen.
Jesus.
These are all answers to why the death and the resurrection of Jesus matter in your life and in mine, and no matter what we are going through, and I think they're really good answers. But they're not the answer. They're not the answer. We see the answer, the real answer, for the first time and a little bit after the text that we read earlier this morning. Jesus' followers were hiding in fear and in sadness. Jesus had died. They didn't know how they could have gotten to this point. They didn't know what was going to happen next. They didn't know if they were going to be hunted down and killed. They didn't know what to do. They were hiding in fear and sadness. And then early in the morning, the empty tomb was discovered. Angels were encountered, and then we find Mary. She is crying in the garden near the tomb. And she, through her tear-streaked eyes, full of sadness and confusion about what's going on, she senses that there's somebody near her, and she thinks it's the gardener, and she calls out to him and says, Sir, if you have taken my Lord, please tell me where you have placed him so I can go and get him. And the man that she has mistaken for the gardener says one simple word to her, Mary. And in that moment, Mary realizes that this is Jesus, the one that she loves, the one that has healed her, the one that has saved her, the one that has become her life, the one that has become her everything. Standing there before her, the one she thought was dead and is now alive, and her whole everything is changed, and she is filled with joy. And he says, go and tell everybody else, tell the brothers and tell the sisters, and I'll meet up with you later on. In that moment, is the answer to why the cross and the resurrection matter. It didn't happen in the empty tomb. It happened when Mary encountered the resurrected Jesus. It's that moment when we are open and we are surrendered to God, maybe even crying out to God, and Jesus shows up in your life and in mine, and everything changes. When we let God in, and all of the answers for why the resurrection matters becomes real and true and personal for you. The answer, these encounters with the resurrected Jesus, these Mary experiences have happened over and over again for the last 2,000 years, millions of times for millions of people all over the world and throughout this history. It is how God is healing the world, one heart, one life at a time, showing up and saying that one word, Mary, showing up in people's life, and they experience this resurrected Lord, and it changes everything, and all the answers become answers for you and for them. For some people in this room, that Mary experience happened on a Sunday very much like this, where you were in a room full of people and you just knew that you needed to say yes to God. And that moment you did. You sensed God's presence and you heard God's voice. And you knew you just needed to say yes. In that moment, you didn't resist and you didn't fight and you were open to God and you said yes to Him. For others, it came in a dramatic moment where God showed up in a powerful way. For other people, it came in a quiet moment when God came up like an old friend. And you just said, yes, I'm yours. I want to belong to you. I want to be yours. For some people, encountering the resurrected Lord, the resurrected Jesus, happened in a prison cell or some cold pavement where you cried out to God and said, God, I am so sorry. Please save me. Please rescue me. Please save me from this place and the mess that I've made of my life. Take my life. Be the boss of my life. In those moments, what God did for us, what God did for you in the cross and the resurrection began to matter for the first time, became real. You began to realize that God loved you that much. God loved you that much. And that you are valuable and precious and special to God. You began to learn what love really is. That love isn't just what anybody says that it is. That love is expressed with Jesus on the cross. And that began to guide your life and shape how you followed what love is in this world. Because you knew what it was for the first time. You realized that you were free of the fear of shame. And can face your guilt. That you have hope in this life. No matter what life gives you or takes away. Began to know that God is your good Father and that the haunting curse of death is being broken in your life. The answer, the reason, the cross, and the resurrection matters came when you were ready to change your mind towards God and towards yourself, when you were open, when you were willing, maybe even crying out as Mary was in the garden that morning. And you let the God that loves you and made you give you life. May today be the day that you say yes to God. Maybe for the first time, maybe again and again and again and again. And may this old saying that we share with our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world this morning, that Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Become true and begin to really matter in your life. Let us remember. Let's pray.